From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 19th day of April, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Bruce Foster of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company will be here to look at the cash grain market. And we'll talk about the weather forecast for the weekend with Jim Angel, Illinois State climatologist from the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute. Along the way today, Peter Levitt, agricultural meteorologist that joins us usually on Thursday afternoons, will be here. He'll tell us what it's like to live in Newtown, Massachusetts on this Friday as they have been searching for the suspects in the marathon bombing that happened in Boston, Massachusetts. And it all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Let's check the numbers as they settled up on this Friday afternoon in Chicago from the CME Group for the day. May wheat futures at 7.09 settled 6.25 higher. July at 7.11.5 up 4.75 for the soft red. That's the harvest month. The harvest month in Kansas City at 7.50.5 up 1.5 cents. Back in Chicago from the corn pit for the day, $6.52 a settlement price up 7.5 cents. July at 6.33, 3.25 higher. September at 5.72, up 5.25, and December corn at 5.47. That's the harvest month, 5.75 cents higher. March contract 5.57.25, up 5.5. May soybeans at $14.28.25, down 2.25 cents. July at 13.82.5, 7.5 lower, and August soybeans $13.28.5, down 10.5 cents. September 12.58.25, down a dime. And November beans at $12.13, a settlement price 10.5 lower. January at 12.20.75, down 10.25 cents on the day. Bean meal futures at 4.12.40, that's $1.40 higher. And the bean oil at 49.16, down 50 cents for the day. Live cattle futures from the June contract at 121.30, 75 cents, rather 7.5 cents lower. August at 121.62.5, down 15 cents for the afternoon. May feeder cattle at 139.20, down 85 cents. August at 146.25, $1.12.5 lower. And the June lean hogs today, $90.20, down 40 cents for the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media, right here in Urbana-Champaign. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. May crude oil futures, $87.92 a barrel, up 19 cents for the day. The RBOB gasoline at 277.1, a penny and a half higher. Ethanol trading at 248.8, that's the settlement price, up 2.8. And the RBOB gasoline to ethanol spread is now at 28.3 cents. Remember, it's been as wide as 70 cents and a bit narrower than this over the last 6 to 7 months. Today, it's just a penny and 2 cents narrower than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $4.41.7, a penny and 6 cents higher. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.79. That's up 1.1 cents. And the gold futures on the day, $3.30 higher at $1,395.30. The U.S. dollar at 82.72. That's up 0.16 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. A chance of rain, even some snow showers in the Urbana-Champaign area. Cloudy, a high of 44 degrees. It'll be breezy with a west wind at about 24 miles an hour, gusting to 37. Chance of precipitation set at 30% for the day. Mostly cloudy this evening, a low of 31. It'll feel really cold. West winds at 7 to 17, gusting to 28. And then tomorrow, sunny skies, a high of 51 degrees on a west-northwest wind at 5 to 7. Partly cloudy on Saturday night and a low of 35. Winds will be calm Sunday, partly sunny, a high of 61. Sunday night, mostly cloudy and a low of 43 degrees. And then on Monday, partly sunny, a high of 65 degrees. Monday night, showers, mostly cloudy and 49. Tuesday, showers, possibly a thunderstorm. Cloudy and a high of 61. Tuesday evening, showers, mostly cloudy and 38. Partly sunny again on Wednesday and 54 degrees. We'll have a more complete look at the weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with State Water Survey's Jim Angel.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Now you're listening to the Closing Market Report on this 19th day of April. I am Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us, Mike Zuzlow from Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting, as usual. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Now, what was the play like in Chicago for the day?
Well, for the week, I think it's fair to say they were not focused. That is, the trade was not focused or worried about the weather. July wheat down 8. More importantly, Kansas City July wheat down 8.75. December corn down 3 on the week, and November beans down 18.75. So I think as today was maybe a little bit different, that the weather sneaked in at times during the trading day as far as planting weather for the corn and spring wheat. It was still held back and kind of kept off the market mindset in the primary market, I guess I should say, because of the continuation of the trade psychology that, hey, the commodity super cycle's over. That means the grains are going lower. We're not worried about weather because demand's falling too. And I think the trade probably needs to look at the weekly export sales and reevaluate that position if I'm right about my assumption.
What would make you right, and what is about the weekly exports sales that makes you think you're right?
Well, we saw the wheat come in double the trade expectations at 1.67 million metric tons. That was 51% above the four-week average. Even the corn, which was a little bit disappointing given the trade's high expectations, came in still 73% above the four-week average. And I do think the trade picked up on the tight supplies of beans because of the meal and because of the basis, but also because the weekly export sales were still very strong, and we still are, total commitments are still running about 13% ahead of last year. So those are the primary demand side factors that I think the trade maybe needs to reevaluate. I wonder how much the shipping slowdown and the lock shutting down on now the Illinois and the Mississippi rivers next week played with the basis, played with the cash market, and therefore played with the spreads up in Chicago and widened those out. I had heard that may be some of the negative fundamentals that were working through the trade Thursday and Friday both.
Yeah, I think I saw one of the locks actually may have been damaged on the Illinois after a barge broke loose. That was reported today. I think that's at Marseilles. So we'll see how that impacts the marketplace. We talked a little bit about the weather. Will the weather play much of a trade impact next week, if it hasn't already?
I think it will have to at a point when the trade feels like the managed money is out of the agriculture the length of the managed money is out of agricultural enough that the crop conditions become important again. And I think this is where we take wheat as our lead. We did not see any improvement over the winter on the wheat crop. We had nearly 40% of the Kansas wheat crop with a freeze last night, 10% in Oklahoma, and about 30% in Texas, and yet the wheat did not pick up on that at all. It's certainly, in my view, not about the micro supply-demand fundamentals, and that kind of goes back to how they've traded the wheat the last 4 or 5 months. So to answer your question, I would think we're getting closer because we're getting closer to the end of April, and even the most novice trader in Chicago realizes you don't want to start planning on May 1, especially in these kind of conditions. And secondly, it would make sense from a standpoint that you've got these freezes that have not been priced in when it comes to the wheat, and even the soft red wheat probably got damaged by some of the flooding.
And then if you look at the other marketplaces, for instance, cattle on feed report was out this afternoon, and we can take livestock up after that.
Yeah, the cattle on feed report, pretty bearish across the board, very positive for the corn and good demand report for the corn, but pretty bearish across the board. On feed April 1, 95%, top end of range of analyst estimates. Placed in March, 106% placed as of March 1, 3% above the top end range, Todd, and then marketed in March, 92%. That was below the lowest trade guess of 92.4. So I suspect by the new contract low and lead month feeders today, some of this was priced in, but I bet not all of it. And I'd also say this will put a lot of pressure on the retail side now, and we'll need a good grilling season to try and work ourselves out of this, I think.
Anything from the outside markets of interest?
Well, I think the dollar going back and forth has been the biggest issue. You've got the Tuesday, you had a 684-point move. Wednesday, you had a 968-point move in the opposite direction. Between that and the gold, I think that's where you're getting this negative bias renewed and kind of refreshed in the ag sector.
Thank you so much for taking the time.
Have a great weekend, sir.
Hey, you too. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. You can always hear him again on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. In fact, there you'll find all of our agricultural programming posted not long after it airs on our radio station, sometimes even before, including our Commodity Week program. We record that at 4:30 on Friday afternoon. Is posted to WILLAG.org by about 6 o'clock each and every Friday evening. We will talk about weather this week. Our guest is Elwin Taylor, meteorologist from Iowa State University.
Learnard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learnard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learnard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You know, many residents of Boston and those surrounding communities have been held up in their homes today. They're urged to stay indoors as a manhunt, of course, intensifies for one of the men suspected of the Boston Marathon bombing. Peter Levitt is a longtime meteorologist here for Will Ag, and he lives in Newton, Massachusetts. That's located just a few miles from downtown Boston. Levitt tells Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers about his hometown alerts this morning and how that happened and how he was told not to go outside.
Newton has a very interesting program that a lot of towns in Massachusetts have and might be useful for adoption by other towns. We have the town of Newton will send out telephone alerts to all its residents if there's an event taking place that's important to a significant number of the residents. For example, in a snowstorm, a school closing, your phone will ring at 5 or 6 in the morning to tell you there's no school, and it'll be coming from the city of Newton. So that this alert procedure was used on this case here at 7 o'clock this morning. My wife got a phone call saying that we are essentially in lockdown, not to leave the house, not to open our businesses, and to keep everything in the house secure and not venture out in the streets. We received that at 7 this morning.
So that was it was a pre-recorded phone message.
Right, it was a pre-recorded phone message that was disseminated to all Newton residents.
That was your primary way of finding out about, your immediate status, what you should do, your security, that sort of thing.
Right. Naturally, what most people do at that point is turn on the TV and see what's going on. And that's been the subsequent source of all our information, which it's been in pretty good depth of information being disseminated continuously now on our television.
Do you feel safer now knowing that one of the suspects is dead, another one has been identified, and they seem to be maybe closing in on him, possibly?
Well, we're at least 50% safer now. We certainly feel a lot more relieved that the search is somewhat under control and that they have specific people that they're looking for and pretty good idea where some of them are holed up at the time being. Right now, the concentration of effort, as we're speaking right now, is in Watertown, near Watertown Square, which is a main street area of Watertown, Massachusetts, which is not far north of us. It's about, 5 miles to our north, where I am. And that's where the action seems to be right now.
What have been the feelings in Boston this week and in the surrounding areas? Has this brought the community closer together, and do you think it's going to change the community forever?
Well, forever is a long time, of course. As far as bringing the town together, yes, these things seem to do that. People start to realize how close tragedy is, and there are 160 people injured here, plus three dead. That's a pretty broad spectrum of population that's been affected by this event, and it lets people realize, you know, how safe are we at any one time. And in that regard, I think it does bring people together, something, the mutual event they can talk about that impacts everybody when they think about the depth of what it all means.
Now, the alert you got this morning, is that something you believe other communities should adopt? Has it worked well? Have there been any problems?
Yeah, it's worked very well during school closings, for example, which have always been a problem. And how do you get it out to the parents that the school is closed if they don't have the radios on or they're not watching TV? And the telephone broadcasts are universal, and everybody gets them, and the school's shut down. And it's happened on other occasions. I can't remember right now what some of them are, but the things other than school closing. But events that have an impact on the town can be disseminated that way, and everybody gets wind of it right away. It's really, I think, quite effective.
Well, I do appreciate your time, and I guess we'll see how this thing unfolds as it continues to unfold.
Yes, it looks like it's at the end game, but, boy, this has been a very elusive and complicated search effort, and there's been already one of the suspects did get away from a firefight, in other words, escaped capture at least once during this episode, so it may go on for some time, but at least everybody, the awareness that we now know who it is and what it is and probably the extent of the people involved, I think is pointing to a short conclusion to these events.
That was Thursday afternoon. Will Ag meteorologist Peter Levitt speaking with Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers. Like many people in the Boston area, Levitt has been advised to stay in his home as the manhunt continues for one of the suspected perpetrators of the bombing at the Boston Marathon.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Did you know that the Illinois Society of Professional Farm Managers and Rural Appraisers surveys its members each winter? It asks about the cash rents being collected for the coming growing season. University of Illinois Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnitke happens to be a member of that association, and he says the cash rents for 2013, well, they're broken into four land quality classes.
For excellent quality land, which is anything over 190 bushels of corn per acre, so they expect over 190 bushels per corn, the average is $396 per acre. So, and that's up about from $379 from in 2012. So it's up about $17, $18 from the 2012 level. Good, which would be from $170 to $190, $339 an acre. Average, which would be from $150 to $170 bushels per acre, $285. And fair, which is below $150, would be $235 per acre.
How did they calculate the bushels to the acre?
That's, again, what they do is they ask their professional farm managers, and they say, take a five-year average. What would you expect for a five-year average from this piece of land? And if it's over 190 bushels, it would be excellent quality farmland.
Did they throw out last year, apparently?
That should be a part of a 25-year average, I guess. But, last year was an anomaly, obviously.
Did you do anything else with the study and the numbers?
Well, you know, what's always interesting is the range of farm of rents. And they also ask for their highest one-third leases, highest one-third of their leases, mid one-third of their leases, and low one-third. Just to give you a feel for excellent quality land, the average of the high one-third leases was $447 per acre, and the low one-third was $320 an acre. So that's a range there of just those high and low of over $100 an acre. Just gives you a feel for the variability that's out there. And when we talk about averages, even professionally, farm managed land has this large range. And if we threw in all land, that would get much larger.
You've been watching these numbers for several years now. Do they ever decrease from year to year?
Well, we haven't seen that in a long time. So the last time you'd probably saw cash rents, the average cash rents decrease was in the 1980s.
From your professional point of view as a farm management specialist, when you take into account all of the costs, are the numbers that we talked about usable?
Yeah, all right. So in essence, they're saying that excellent quality land has cash rent of $400. Non-land costs will be a little over $500, so say $900 of costs there. If you have, just for easy figuring, 200 bushel corn yield, that works out to be something over $4 corn, which may or may not happen. I mean, it's worked out, obviously, the past several years with higher prices and higher crop insurance payments, but if we get back to $4.50 corn or below $4 corn, it won't work.
Gary Schnittke, farm management specialist at the University of Illinois. You can read more from him on professionally managed farms and cash rents on the Farm Doc Daily website. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This is the Friday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. Let's check the cash grain market. Now Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, is on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
It's cold. It's kind of wet. I doubt that much is happening in your area. What's going on?
Well, it wouldn't be a bad day for early March. Unfortunately, it's not early March. There is just not a whole heck of a lot going on right now. There's no corn or really very little soybeans on farm to come in, so not a whole lot is happening. We've been shipping some grain out. Cash movement is overall pretty light. On some pops, we've seen maybe a little interest in new clear-up, but we're still way behind what I would consider normal sales.
Producers would like to be in the field or not. How much rainfall have you had?
Through the course of the week right here at the office, just shy of 4 inches.
Man, that'll keep them out for a while.
That'll keep them out for a while, and it's probably one of the drier spots. There's wetter places not too far away.
What are your bids for the day?
We are at $6.58 on nearby corn and $14.47 on soybeans.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report for a Friday afternoon. Remember that at 4:30 this afternoon, USA Central Time, we'll record Commodity Week. Our panelists in studio include Kurt Kimmel, Wayne Nelson, and Ellen Dearden. Our guest on the phone line this afternoon, Elwin Taylor, meteorologist from Iowa State University. Commodity Week, it's our weekly look at what happened in the world of agriculture. Find it on our website at willag.org after 6 o'clock this evening. Back in 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the ag weather.
It's National Amaretto Day. It's also Garlic Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1877, Ollie Evinrude was born. He invented the first practical outboard motor in 1909. The idea came to him while rowing a boat to a picnic one day. He decided there had to be an easier way to move a small boat on the water. He patented his engine a year later, and a new industry was soon created. In 1904, Richard Plough was born, an American ecologist. He was the founding president of the Nature Conservancy, and he also helped found the World Wildlife Fund. He also was one of the first to recognize the dangers of DDT on fish, frogs, and birds. In 1916, Ephraim Shea died, an American logger. He invented the Shea-geared small steam locomotive to haul heavy logging trains at low speeds over rough terrain with poorly laid, uneven track. In 1975, Percy L. Julian died, an African-American chemist. He worked on synthesizing various compounds from soybeans. One of his creations was a foam fire extinguisher refined from soya protein used by the U.S. Navy in World War II. And in 1995, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that alcohol content could be listed on beer labels, overturning a 1935 law that had prohibited it. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Friday afternoon. Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey serves as the state climatologist for the Prairie Research Institute, among other places, is on the phone line to talk about the weather forecast with us for the weekend. Thanks, Jim, for taking the time with us. Rather than the weekend, let's look back first at this week. How much rain fell across the state of Illinois, and was it divvied up by north, south, central, or other ways?
That's right. It was a very exciting week as far as the precipitation goes. Really not much fell at all south of Interstate 70, but between Interstate 70 and close to Chicago, we get about 2 to 4 inches, and in a line basically north of between Quincy and Chicago, we got up to 4 to 6 inches. So widespread flooding across much of the northern half of the state, and things look very wet in much of that area. So it's very wet at this point, and certainly that totally erases any concerns we had about drought that were still lingering a month or two ago.
And take up the southern part of the state, below I-70. Do you suppose they can be in the field?
You know, that's a good question. They probably could, because it's been relatively dry south of there for the last 2 weeks, so I suspect there may be some activity going on in some of those areas, especially farther south where it gets a little warmer a little earlier, so that should be good news for them.
I suppose we'll find that out during the crop progress reports on Monday afternoon. Tell me about tell me about the weekend weather forecast.
Well, you know, it's tomorrow will be high of 51 with mostly sunny skies, and then on Sunday it'll be even nicer, a high of 61 with partly sunny skies. And even next Monday, it'll be high of 65, and then there is a chance of rain moving in Monday night and Tuesday. The amounts don't look too impressive right now, but that could change as we move forward there. But at least at this point, they're just calling for showers and not heavy thunderstorms or anything like that. But you know, we've kind of gotten into this rhythm of having a couple of nice days, and we get a big rain event, and then we have some cold weather, then it turns nice again. And so we've kind of gone through this cycle for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and at least in the short term, that seems to be a continuation of that. Now, if you get out the 6 to 10-day and 8 to 14-day forecast, it looks a little different. The 6 to 10-day still shows us being cold, but we do seem to be on the dry side. The 8 to 14-day forecast is near normal temperatures and below normal precipitation.
Well, that'd be much better news, and I suppose we might be getting deep enough into the springtime that do we normally get another change in the weather patterns about this time of year?
Yeah, as the calendar marches forward here, we do, and April is one of our big transition months, so we should be getting up into the much warmer temperatures. You know, even though we've had that tendency to be on the cool side, our benchmark or where we average or normal would be is moving up quite rapidly. We probably warm up about a good 10 to 12 degrees from the beginning of end to April in many places. So we should be getting warmer, and our risk of frost should be about reaching that point at this stage, and then it'll start to decrease it by the end of the month.
Thanks so much, Jim.
You're welcome.
Jim Angel is at the Illinois State Water Survey. The Prairie Research Institute serves as the state climatologist. Talks to us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Friday afternoon. Be sure to visit our website at willag.org for Commodity Week. Our guest this week is Iowa State meteorologist from Extension there, Elvin Taylor. We'll put that up at about 6 o'clock this evening at WILLAG.org. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.